Hi, this is Gideon Rothstein with a responsibility for the 27th day of Adar Sheni. Let's thank the OU, Rabbi Jacob Bromwitz and David Hauser, for their assistance in making this year available to you online. Today we're going to have a chance to learn from Rav Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, the first Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel. The response book is called Shut Heichal Yitzchak, and this is from the second volume, the 57th response. Now, it's a bit ironic because I think it was just yesterday. Might have been for the 30th of Cheshvan, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. I was taping that yesterday as well. But I think it might have been in the regular 26th of Adar Sheni, where I pointed out that there are all these technical issues of halakha that I usually do not tackle in this forum, just because when they feel technical, they can sound technical, and then people can not enjoy them. And I've been trying to pick topics that will be also stimulating and interesting to listeners. You can let me know at grothst@gmail.com if I've in any way succeeded. But the Adar Sheni Tshuvot are rarer than regular Tshuvot, because there's an Adar Sheni only 7 out of every 19 years. So for this day, the 27th of Adar Sheni, I had a couple of options, but this seemed to me among the best options that I could communicate, and it gave us at least, we'll have once or twice throughout our process, remembered that part of what halachists do, part of what rabbanim do, part of what respondents do, is deal with these kinds of technical issues that in and of themselves might not seem particularly satisfying, but are vital building blocks to an entire halachic system. In this case, it's not a purely technical issue, because it's about writing the name of Yerushalayim in a get. And it's on the 27th of Adar Sheni of Tavshin Yud Dalet of 1954. So you write the name Yerushalayim in a get. The question is, that second Yud, does it belong there or not? The name Yerushalayim is spelled today, in most contexts, we spell it Yud Resh Vav Shin Lamed Yud Mem, to say Yerushalayim. Right, so the question is, do you write it that way? And that's the way people pronounce it in general. So the man who was writing to Rav Herzog was Meir Rav David Weitzel, who had previously, according to the response, been an Av Beis Din, been a, you know, a Rav in Baranovich. So Baranovich is the name in Poland that I know, because Rabbi Klonen Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, was known to have been a teacher, a Rav in Baranovich, in the yeshiva in Baranovich. So it's a reminder that 1954, it's after the Holocaust, obviously, but the connection to Europe wasn't as remote as I guess it sometimes feels today. Meaning, I grew up in a generation when there were still people from Europe around, for sure, and I knew many, many people who had lived in Europe before the war, and survivors, and all those kinds of things. But in 1954, still, you had like rabbinic figures, already still important rabbis who had been in Europe before the war. You have some of that today, but less and less as time goes on, because that's the way time works. So this Rav David Weitzel had written to Rav Herzog to know, why don't we write Yerushalayim in a get with a yud at the end? And the important point is that when we write get, and we need to be very careful about all these technical details, otherwise the get, the biblical divorce, might be invalid, and that creates many, many tragedies we need and want to avoid. So he had quoted a Tiv Gittin. Tiv Gittin was obviously a sefer about the way we write Gittin, and the Tiv Gittin had quoted an earlier sefer called the Get Pashut, which was very authoritative about all these kinds of technical issues in how we write bills of divorce. And the Tiv Gittin had wondered, maybe the Get Pashut had changed his mind about how to write Yerushalayim. So Rav Herzog writes, I don't know where you got that. When I look at the Get Pashut, I don't see any doubt about it. The Get Pashut agreed and wrote very clearly that we write Yerushalayim chaser, meaning you write Yud Resh Vav Shin Lamed Mem Sofit, without that second Yud. So that would leave open the possibility you would pronounce it Yerushalayim or Yerushalayim. We'll talk about that throughout the course of this tshuva. So I think the Get Pashut, I just looked it up online, I think the Get Pashut is written by a Rabbi Moshe Ben Chaviv, who lived from 1654 to 1696 and was a Rishon Litzion. It's a reminder that Sephardic chief rabbis of Israel go back hundreds of years. This position was already under the Turks. It was called the Chacham Bashi. And it's a position that goes back, and he had written a sefer called Get Pashut. So his decisions about the writing of Yerushalayim will be important ones, because he, you know, is living in the topic, as it were. And I think the Tiv Gittin is written by Ephraim Zalman Margoliod, who's also known as the author of the Pshut Beit Ephraim, which is an authoritative books of response, and he lived about 150 years after the after the author of the Get Pashut. So that's the discussion. The Get Pashut written Yerushalayim Chaser. The Tiv Gittin had suggested that maybe he changed his mind. Maybe we should really read it in Malay with that second Yud. Reverts because I don't see that in the Get Pashut at all. And he says, so here's the reason. Because if you look in that Sefer Get Pashut, you'll find that sometimes he's writing his own Sefer. He'll write Yerushalayim with that second Yud. So Rav Herzog says, that's like misaper. It's like he's just telling you about other stuff. He's talking about other things. Shkach not going to be Yerushalayim, but he didn't mean those writings of it to have any halakhic content, except for where he discussed the halakhic content, where he said we write it chaser, we write it without that second yud. Now, it's an odd thing, because outside of the context of writing Gittin, everybody writes Yerushalayim with that second yud. So first thing you need to know is that you're right. There's this popular writing of the name of Yerushalayim with that second yud. Even the Get Pashut, when he's writing just the name of Yerushalayim in general, writes it that way. So he understands and he accepts and he does it that way. But that doesn't necessarily change the writing of it for the purpose of Gittin. But that'll be an odd thing. It'll say that we write the name Yerushalayim and a Get in a different way that everybody writes it in life in general. That's an odd thing, and that would be why the Tiv Gittin would have a problem with it. But Rav Herzog thinks that the Tiv Gittin was reading things into the Sefer Get Pashut that didn't really belong there. And Rav Herzog says also that he's living, again, another 150 years after this discussion had happened, after the Tiv Gittin had read the discussion. But he says, Rav Herzog says, how can we change the custom? And we have an established custom in Yerushalayim to write Gittin a certain way. The way you write Gittin is to have the name Yerushalayim written without that second yud. So that's the way we write it. Now, I want to stress that we haven't yet given any conceptual reason why Yerushalayim should be written one way or the other. So that's an underlying question that we're going to get to in a second, but it's why it feels so technical, because we don't have a good understanding. Because theoretically, you could say, right, the intuitive way to discuss the issue might be to say, write the way everybody writes it. And doesn't the Sefer Get Pashut itself show that the way everybody writes it is with that second yud? So why wouldn't I write it with the second yud? So Rav Herzog's answer so far, we're going to get to why we do it this way in a second too a little bit, but his answer so far is, it may be true that everybody writes it other than in Gittin contexts with that second yud, but the fact that everybody does something with the second yud in different contexts doesn't mean that it has halachic validity for the writing of the get. And when you look at what the Sefer Get Pashut says about the writing of a get, what he says is that we write Gittin with the name Yerushalayim without that second yud. But it raises that interesting question: why would it be? And so I think that's sort of what was bothering the Tiv Gittin. If the author of Get Pashut himself, whenever he writes the name Yerushalayim, writes it with that second yud, but then all of a sudden he comes to the situation of writing it for a get, he says, no, have a second yud. That's an odd thing, because usually we want to write things in a way that will be the general way of writing them, so that anybody who sees this get will recognize the name of the city. So that's what I think the Tiv Gittin had complained, and now Rav Herzog is saying, and he's saying it respectfully and you know, always and with humility, but he's saying, but how do we come after an existing comment of the Get Pashut, an existing ruling of the Get Pashut, and just decide to ourselves that we're going to change the practice when all these great rabbis handled it this way? That they wrote it, you know, without that second yud. And there's always a situation, he doesn't mention it explicitly, but it is a factor that comes into play, because I've heard important rabbis talk about these situations. It's also true that as you change a practice, that there's a worry, a valid and important halakhic worry, that maybe by changing the practice, we are going to cast aspersions on the early way of doing it. We're going to sort of imply that they didn't do it the right way. So we want to make sure that we don't do that as well. So now he comes to what he calls ikar, that are the essence of the matter. Why would it be that we would do it this way? Meaning, one argument could have been, we could say, no, it's not true. Everybody writes Yerushalayim without that second yud. It's just random people who don't. But he's not saying that, because even the Sefer Get Pashut makes very clear in his writings that the Yerushalayim is commonly, popularly written with that second yud. So why not? So he says, "She'im amnam beget tzarich v'chtov kilshon b'nei adam." It's true that our general practice with a get, when we want to establish names of people, names of places, names of rivers, all those kinds of things, we write it the way that people write it. And the reason we write it the way people write it is that we want to make sure that people know that to which we are referring. So if the guy writing a get, the sofer, the scribe, writing a get, this is the example of Herzog gives, were to write the name Shmuel. Now Shmuel is spelled in Tanakh and everywhere else, Shin Mem Vav Aleph Lamed, Shmuel. But a lot of people pronounce it as Shmuel. Right? Shmuel, that's how you get Shmuley, right? The nickname for a kid, a man named, or a boy named Shmuel, is not Shmueli, it's Shmuley. How do you get the Shmuley? You get the Shmuley because the name is pronounced Shmuel, right? You sort of slur it. So as a pronunciation, that's not a problem. But let's say the sofer therefore wrote Shmuel, Shin Mem Vav Lamed. And he could defend it by saying, I'm just writing it the way that people pronounce it. It'll be puzzle. So that, Rav Herzog says, is a different issue because in that case, the guy won't read it as Shmuel, he'll read it as Shmuel. And Shmuel is really a change because even the people pronounce the name Shmuley, they're sort of slurring the L sound. They're not saying, it's not that his name is pronounced Shmuel all the time. If you just called his name, this boy or this man's name, you'd say Shmuel. But you say quickly, Shmuel, right? So when you turn it into a nickname, Shmuley, right? That's what it is. So it eventually becomes Shmuley, and I made this, the nickname part I'm making, I'm just putting out how you can get a scribe who would think to write Shmuel. But it's never really Shmuel, with just like that, it's Shmuel. So there's that little difference where Herzog is saying that is a change enough that it would be a problem. But that's not the situation with Yushalayim. So that's not our answer yet. Meaning part of the answer is you can't change things. So if you read, when you're going to write a name of anything in the way that it's popularly pronounced, you have to be very careful that you don't lose a nuance of the pronunciation. So the name Shmuel is a good example for us. Shmuel in the Tanakh, in Scripture, and therefore the name that's given to people is Shmuel. Right, but the way people pronounce things in life is they aren't so careful about getting all of the nuances of pronunciation in there, which is ordinarily fine. Maybe in the reading of the Torah we should care about it, but ordinarily nobody cares. Right? The fact that a person's name was, their parents gave him the name Shmuel, you know, and they may have wanted it to be Shmuel, the fact that it eventually becomes Shmuel, or Shmuel, right, and gets condensed and quickened, that doesn't bother us halachically any real way. But when you come to write again, if you ever have to, or any other document that we need to know his name, today, pretty much the only documents that we really have to firmly care about in that sense are getting their bills of divorce. But in a time when contracts are written and shtaros, you have to worry about all these things and make sure they're very careful. So if you wrote it just as Shin Mem Vav Lamed, you're skipping something vital. But that's not going to be true in Yushalayim. Because we're promoting, we are advocating that Yushalayim should be written without that yud. So that's really going to be, and even though the popular writing of it is with that second yud. So where our writing of it is making it less understood. So Herzog is saying, but it doesn't matter. Shekol Adam Yodea Shebek He says, everybody knows that everywhere in Tanakh that you look and you see this name written, it's written without that second yud. I shouldn't pronounce it Yerushalayim, but sometimes pronounced that way. But it's written yud resh vav shin lamed mem. It's menukad. It's the pointillation. If you had dots in the Tanakh, it would have put under that lamed a patach. So that makes it be pronounced usually. That means it's pronounced Yerushalayim. V'nikra Yushalayim. We read it as if that second yud is there. Right? So you don't have the Shmuel problem because we're going to write it. You could say, well, aren't we writing it as like Shmuel instead of Shmuel? The answer is that a case like Shmuel, and Shmuel, people might think that it really is the name Shmuel as opposed to Shmuel, that these parents decided they didn't want to get into that problem of people mangling the name, so they're just giving the name Shmuel to begin with. So that you can't rely on. You can't say, I'll write it without that aleph that would tell me Shmuel, because people generally pronounce it Shmuel, because there you might really create confusion and differentiation. But Yerushalayim is such a famous name, and it's written in Tanakh the defective way. By defective, I don't mean bad. I mean defective is the word for we don't have that second yud in it. So it's written that way in Tanakh all over the place. It happens to be, later in the response, when there's a footnote that says that there are 656 times that Yerushalayim is mentioned in the Scripture, and it's only three times it's written with a full yud. So I looked it up. I found slightly different statistics, but however it is, whatever the right answer is, but it's a lot. It's by and large. The Yerushalayim is written in Tanakh without that second yud. So now here's another problem that the man raised. Maybe you'll see, or that Herzog raises, anticipating that he might raise as a problem, that if you look in Tanakh, there are certain chapters of Tanakh which are written in Aramaic. So in the book of Ezra, there are several chapters written in Aramaic. So there, the name Yerushalayim, what we call Yerushalayim, is read, meaning it's pointillated. The dots tell you that the proper way to read it is Yerushalayim. Not Yerushalayim, which with the patach under the lamed, but with a tsere, with two dots under the two dots next to each other, under that lamed. That would mean you'd read it as Yerushalayim. I will say that he calls it a tsere. We have it as a segol in our, I looked it up, like say in Ezra, in chapter 4, 5, and 6, I looked it up as Yerushalem with a segol with the three dots in a sort of triangle-ish kind of a shape. I think it's Yerushalayim, but it's not Yerushalayim. So the Rav Herzog writes, "Zoya kriati vit Yerushalayim ve'ein segol asofit shuman kasha okilu patak." He says that's all part of a natural reading. It's not a significant difference. Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. It's somewhere. The name was really something around that. Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, and all that. And therefore, you write it lamed mem shishmitzastam kach nikra. And so, but you might say maybe that's the right pronunciation, and therefore the sofer wrote it that way, and you have to read it that way. So he says, Rav Herzog says, it's not a shini hashem. It wouldn't change anything. That would not be a significant problem for us. Meaning, the problem of writing a name a certain way that can leave confusion is if the confusion created a different name. So Shmuel is a different name than Shmuel, even a slurred version, even like a runoff version of Shmuel, right? But Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. All those Rav Herzog is saying are different ways of pronouncing the same thing for the same city. People whose natural language is Aramaic would pronounce it Yerushalayim, and people whose natural language is Hebrew would pronounce Yerushalayim with a chirik, with a dot between the lamed and the mem that tells you that it's Yerushalayim, and that's not two different names. So that's an interesting claim, because Aramaic is a different language, but it's a related language, it's a Semitic language. I don't think Rav Herzog would think that if I wrote in a get, you know, Jerusalem, and I say, well, people who speak English pronounce it that way. So that's a whole different language. So I think what Rav Herzog is saying is that Aramaic and Hebrew are similar enough languages, and they use the similar enough alphabet, that the fact that Aramaic speakers pronounce the Yerushalayim slightly different than Hebrew speakers pronounce the name Yerushalayim. One would say Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, one would say Yerushalayim. But if we write it in a way that accommodates both versions, both readings, and both readings appear in Tanakh, that's not a significant enough difference. So then, so he says, but maybe you'll ask me, perhaps you'll wonder, what would have been bad if you'd written with a yud in that second slot between the lamed and that ending mem? Write it with the yud. That's where we write it everywhere else. Everywhere you look, in the Gemara and the Mishnah, you write it with that second yud, and you write it in all letters that way. And so, what's the big deal? So why don't we just write it that way and get meaning? So let's say you're right. Let's say Yerushalayim is properly written without that second yud, and that's the way it appears in Tanakh and Scripture, and that's the way it appears. But over time, the practice has become to write it with that second yud. So, you know, I don't know. I think the word is orthography when it comes to writing words and spelling things. There's a movement, the development. Why? What would be bad if we get it that way? And what would be good? The point is, what would be good is that we would have even more clarity about the name of the city that we're trying to write. So write it this way. So your one instinct might be, well, it's at all really just lachalok kavod lekitvei hakodesh. Is it just to give honor to Scripture? Now, I have to say, he throws that out there as if it's completely impossible that that's the answer. He's going to give a different answer, which we'll get to in a second. But as I read those words, I think to myself, well, why not? So, for example, if you think about, just pops into my mind, this is not the responsive anymore. You know, we're almost done with this series. This is the 27th of Adar Sheni. I've got the 28th and the 29th coming up, and then I hope we'll, you know, meet virtually many, many times, and that you'll have an opportunity to listen to these shiurim and to then write to me about it and tell me what you think of them and, you know, engage me in discussion of them. But in lots and lots of important ways, this series is almost done, so I am allowing myself a little bit more digression than I might ordinarily do so, and I'm almost done with the tshuva anyway. So here's the example that comes to my mind, is that when Chazal wanted to create a Shushan Purim, when they wanted a second possible day of Purim, or a bunch of Jews every year to be observing Purim on the other day to commemorate the two-day experience, the split experience of the miracle that most Jews had the war on the 13th of Adar and celebrated on the 14th, and the Jews of Shushan had the war on the 13th and 14th, and they celebrated on the 15th, when they wanted to set up a commemoration of that. So they didn't just make it that city, because Jews will move all over the world, and I think they didn't want to limit to that city. They may have wanted to make it walled cities. But why not walled cities for the time of Shushan? So the answer is, because this is what the Gemara says. I'm not making anything up, because the Gemara says, because they wanted to give honor to Yerushalayim, which was at that time not in its built-up state, and so they made it from the time of Yehoshua, when the Jewish people, and Eretz Israel in general, when the Jewish people first conquered Eretz Israel, first conquered the land of Israel. So the idea that you might structure a religious practice to give honor to something in Judaism doesn't seem like the craziest idea in the world to me, although it's thrown out here as obviously that can't be the right answer. So I'm not sure why it's so obvious, meaning if we've already established that you write Yerushalayim with that second yud or without that second yud, it doesn't make a huge difference. So then I could have imagined saying, yeah, because that's the way it's written in Tanakh, we'd like people to remember in some sense that's the way it's written in Tanakh. Here's one way to contribute to remembering the original way that Yerushalayim was written. And I have to say that until I was learning this tshuva, I myself would not have remembered that Yerushalayim is always written that way in Tanakh. I probably would have noticed it sometimes, but it just doesn't register with me because we write Yerushalayim with that second yud. So, Rav Herzog says, Ta'amam adayin lo nitkaleh. The reason isn't clear to us yet. Aval kvodam kadoshu ve'ininu tamid. Well, let's give them the kvodam. But if they did it, right? If they did it, then we're not going to change because we have to honor them, our forebears who did it. And he cites, Ulahu tzi chas v'shalom la'azal. And another word often comes up, and I think it's a factor to be balanced. I don't think it's the only factor to think of. It's a factor to be part of the puzzle. That there's this worry of what's called lohotzi la'az aleihem. So lohotzi la'az means if you found the get from 100 years ago. Now today I think we mostly rip up getting after. What happens is you have the get ceremony, you have the divorce ceremony. The woman receives the get. She gives it back to the beitin. The beitin gives her a document that says we, this beitin, saw her with a valid get and she is now divorced. She keeps that as proof of the fact that she's divorced and permitted to remarry, and the beitin tears up the get, and the reason is because you don't want to get into problems. Let's say you found later an issue with the get, or people might claim the get was never given. There's all sorts of issues that can arise if you have a get flying around. But let's suppose we stumbled across a get from 100 years ago, or let's say in 200 years, let's say, you know, he's writing this Jew in 1954, let's say in the, let's work with Jewish years, Tavshin Yudalit, let's suppose that in Tavshin Yud Dalet, right? Even the year 2054. Somebody finds a get from Tavshin Yud Gimel, right, from 1953, and it's written Yerushalayim without that second yud, and by that time, everybody writes getting with the name Yerushalayim with that second yud. So they might say, I don't know what they were doing back then. They didn't know what they were doing, and if they don't know this whole discussion, so that's called being motzi laz. When we change a practice, we have to worry that people will think the people did it till now did it wrong. So that's one issue that I think is very alive for him, and it's very alive for other people. I remember, you know, my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, Zechut Zimlivracha, also would speak about the issue of hotzat laz in other contexts, that when we act in a certain way, there's times when it's better to act in a certain way, and therefore we want to just, like, up our game, but we always have to be worried that in doing so, we would cast aspersions on what came before us. I once was talking to a guy about a mechitza in a certain shul, and I thought the mechitza was kind of low, and he said to me, you can't change that mechitza, because then you'll be casting aspersions on, there was an important rabbi, you know, of 80 years earlier than me, who had made that mechitza. So you can't say that he did the wrong thing. So it's a complicated question, because I think the answer could be, I could say, no, he didn't do anything wrong for his time, right? He relied on leniencies that are perfectly acceptable leniencies in certain contexts, but when you get to another context, you don't need to rely on that leniency anymore. So I think that's a whole big complicated question, but the factor of lotzi la'az, that we have to be very careful not to anyway imply that we think we're better than them, and we know the halacha better than them, and they were doing it wrong, that's an issue. And so Rav Herzog thinks that's an issue here too, aside from everything else. Now he's going to offer a possibility for why it is that we write Yerushalayim that way. So he says, maybe the reason was, if you look at the Gemara in Erech in Lamed Bet, Rav Ashi writes there that there was two cities of Yerushalayim, Trei Yerushalayim Havu. So you look in Tosus there, Tosus says, Shebi Yehuda Atzma, that is in Judea itself. So if there were two cities of Yerushalayim, and you want to differentiate them, so for Yerushalayim, Yirat Kodesh, you write it the way it's written in Tanakh, because that's clearly the Yerushalayim of Tanakh, and therefore you write it that way to make clear, to make sure that we mean this central Yerushalayim, not the other Yerushalayim, which in the interim we've lost. So you say, but we write, and we do this for every city in a get, we write the nearby river for that get. So we'll write for Yerushalayim, we write getting as by saying Almei Shiloach. That's near the Shiloach River. Doesn't that take away any worry about any confusion? So Efshar Shegam Hashniya Yashiva Al Mei Shiloach. So it could be the second one also was on the Shiloach, because if they're both in Judea, right? We said they're both in Yehuda, and Rav Herzog says, in times gone by, the Shiloach was a much longer river than it is today, and you could see it, you know, out to great distances. And therefore, there's every reason to think that Yerushalayim would also have been on the Shiloach, because Shiloach was like a central river at the time. And so he thinks that's more than enough to justify what we do, lagein on, to justify this getting practiced. For Rav Ashi, we see that even back in the time of the Tanaim, you had this worry, and therefore, that's why Yerushalayim did it this way, perhaps. Now, another issue that this man had written, others Rav David Weitzel had brought up, was that when we talk about Yerushalayim in that way, when we talk about the Yerushalayim referred to in Tanakh, we mean the Ir HaAtika, we mean the old city, the city in the walls of Yerushalayim, not the new city. So why in the new city do we write Yerushalayim and as if we're talking about the same city? It's not the same city. So Rav says it's an excellent question, and he says, and I had not known this at all, but he says that until a few years ago, in fact, we would only write Gittin in the old city, meaning, you know, you'd have a Beit in the old city. Every time somebody had to get divorced in Yerushalayim, they would go to the old city for it. But now they've started writing it in other places in Yerushalayim as well. So Rav says he doesn't think it's a nafka mina. He doesn't think it makes a halachically valid and important difference, because there's no wall that's formally separating the cities. It's the shem b'fi ha'am. It's how people define an area. And since people call the new city Yerushalayim the same way as the old city, that itself is good enough. Meaning, in halacha, you would need a formal process to add to the city of Yerushalayim. And it's not clear that we ever had that process certainly we never had that process about the new city, what we call the new city today. Even in the time of Ezra, when they expanded the city, it's a debate about whether they had a formal process. They didn't have a formal process, but Rav Herzog is saying, for Gittin purposes, it's not the formal process that matters to us. It's the natural growth of the city accompanied by people saying, yes, this is the city called such and such. So everybody would know, if they saw a get written with the name Yerushalayim, they all know that it means this city that we talk about, all of the elements of the city. Now that's an interesting question, because then if you have some outskirt neighborhood of Yerushalayim, you'd have to think very carefully about whether you could include the name Yerushalayim. You have to check sort of what common practice is. So Rosa says otherwise, you get into a big problem, because then you'd have to go to, if your discussion has to be what's been considered Yerushalayim, let's say in scripture, or what's been considered Yerushalayim historically, you'd have to do historical research and archaeological research, and that's going to be a big, the word that comes to mind is bruch, but my Yiddish is so non-existent, I'm not even sure that's the right way, but it'd be like a confusing, problematic issue as to whether or not this would be Yerushalayim. And the answer is, we don't do it that way. We do it as whatever the area is that's popularly known, that's in the common language of people of the time as Yerushalayim, that's what we care about. Then he points to a Tosfos in Tani, Tetzayin Amud Aleph 16a, which says that Yerushalayim, that we write without the Yud, he says, Mitchila haita nikrate Shalem, the city's name was just not Yeru, just Shalem, wholeness or completeness. And then it was called Yerushalayim, Al Shem Yireh. So this is a reference to when Behar Hashem Yireh, when I think Har Moriah, Behar Hashem, that's what the pasuk says, Behar Hashem Yireh. So that Yireh got attached to the name, and then the name Shalem, whole or complete. Mishim Kaf, Einot Nim Yud B'Yushalayim, because even though we pronounce Yushalayim now, it comes originally from the name Shalem. So Rav Herzog thinks that if you look in that Tosfos, it sounds like you're also thinking about in terms of writing Gittin. That's what he means by we don't add a Yud in it. It's about that Gittin issue. Then he writes in the brackets, Vatidai Yerushalayim Shetitkadesh B'Tor Tosefet B'Vel Goel Merv Yameinu Amen. And the fact is that the new city, he is confident, and I am happy to join his confidence to whatever extent that helps you, he's confident that in times to come, this city will be added to, the new city will be added to Yerushalayim in the formal halachic sense. When Mashiach comes, we have a Sanhedrin, we have all the things that we need to add on to this in the formal sense, it will become formally and literally Yerushalayim. And therefore, he says, Mishum Kach Bilvad, that alone would be sufficient to treat the new city and call it Yerushalayim, but then he writes, if it's just like an added idea. But his point is that he thinks we should think of the new city as part of Yerushalayim in general, because we believe that soon, b'mehirah v'yameinu, speedily in our days, it will in fact formally become part of the city of Yerushalayim. And then he writes, and this is part of what's moving me about all these issues, and I'm going to send this response that I'm writing now to the head of the rabbinical court of Yerushalayim, which is, I'm pretty sure, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, because I think Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank started being the head of the rabbinical court of Yerushalayim in 1907, which is when Rav Shmuel Salant was the rabbi of Jerusalem. So, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he says, the Rav Herzog says, so that's 47 years before. It's almost 60 years that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is doing that. So I mentioned a couple of times that when I come across Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's tshuvot, responsa, so many of them are about Gittin issues that we don't get a chance to learn from him as often as I'd like, for that very reason, because this is what he spent huge amounts of his time doing, and that shapes who he is as a Torah scholar, shapes our experience of him. So that's who Rav Herzog was going to send this to. But meanwhile, we had the opportunity to learn from Rav Herzog, which is always a great experience, always wonderful, and to realize some of the technical issues that come up in Gittin, this time about the topic of the city of Yerushalayim and how we call it and how we experience it and how we related to Tanakh in ways that I thought weren't completely technical, and therefore that I hope have made the 27th day of Adar Sheni a productive learning day for you. Thank you to the OU, Rabbi Jacob Abramowitz and David Hochhauser, for helping us with this Yerim. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.